Amazing. You guys ready? Awesome. What a special day today is. Father, we just ask you for unction. We ask you for the release of the Spirit of God to write upon our hearts and our minds. I pray that you continue to give us ears that hear. I ask that you give us eyes that see. Father, give us hearts that understand, that we might understand the will of the Lord and order our life and our steps in a way that is worthy of you in every respect, that we could bear fruit in every season and be in full participation with your work advancing in the earth. Today, God, call us to attention. Continue to let the word of God in our spirit spring into life in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Give us clarity on this hour, on this season, so that we can add our yes and amen to it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Exciting times, friends. I wanted to bring to remembrance for a moment, last time I spoke was July 3rd, and I had shared about all hands on deck and the call to get activated and let the power of God flow through your life in a greater way, and reiterating the fact that God has been shouting at us the same themes over and over and over, as Stephanie illustrated again last week. We have been continually passing the baton in the Spirit, reiterating, redundantly communicating, so that hopefully we can get it in our hearts and respond in sincere obedience from the heart. But one of the things that I shared in that time as well is that specifically God was releasing in this season a demonstrative, powerful, healing anointing, because the harvest demands it. Listen to me. The world and the church, many who mourn in Zion, who coexist in the family of God and yet are still without experiencing power, or who have great needs and those needs are not met. They're suffering long and they need real solutions that man cannot provide. There's a place, just like the woman with the issue of blood that I shared when I preached. She had spent all her wages on physicians and suffered many, 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 many years, and nothing worked. She needed an act of God, and it was for an appointed time, an appointed moment for the glory of God to reveal the worthiness and power of Jesus to bring solutions that no man can bring. In this season, for those in the church and those in the world, they need a living God, the power of God, the glory of God, to do what men cannot do. It is not going to be by mere persuasive words and doing just cool things that are going to convert the darkest of the darkest, the most unbelieving, the most broken. It's going to be the power of God, the Spirit of truth, with real solutions to set captives free and meet their actual needs, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? Amen? God is going to release an incredible healing anointing. They need a living God with real solutions. So let me tell you something. This is one reason why some of the fiery physical trials have come upon us. Listen to me very closely. This is an important kingdom principle. Every truth that God wants to establish in you and manifest through you must be tested. It must be proven in real life experience, in your day-to-day life. You must have the word of God wrought in you through trial, through struggle, through practice, over and over and over. Trials come to produce a weighty glory on the inside of you. Come on, say amen. That's why we're meant to rejoice at trials, because we're meant to have a divine perspective. We're meant to learn the lesson to stop grumbling about our hardships and accept it as discipline to train us in righteousness, to teach us the ways of God, that we can participate in the plan of God. Woo! Come on, are you with me? We need to get wise. We need to grow up and understand the will of the Lord. We need to know what he's like so that we can work with him. The trials that have come upon you with even physical ailments, listen to me. It is so that when you endure it and when you overcome the trial, you will gain authority and unlock an anointing in God for healing. Do you hear me? The trial produces authentic faith, and that faith unlocks the power and grace of God flowing through you. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to access nor release the grace of God. We need faith. Trials produce authentic faith, not superficial wishful thinking, blind belief. I'm talking about conviction of the truth. That releases power. God wants to produce that in us. The place of attacks on your life is the place of promise. Write that down. The place of attack or resistance in your life is the very place of promise. Come on, say, it's true. To honor Kenesha, it's in the book. So what I'm saying is that God wants to unlock a massive healing anointing to set captives free. The earth groans. The crisis in our culture groans. Culture is groaning and looking for answers. They're looking to the church. That's why we even see such collaborations now like never before. We're the state, the local state, and even federal government at certain levels are looking to the church. They're looking for faith-based solutions because they provide the greatest statistical solutions. Jesus is the answer, folks. Jesus is the answer. Let me tell you something. We are in times of acceleration. We're in times of acceleration. And the time is upon us, as the scripture says in Amos 9:11, since today is 9:11. 2 verse 14 says, we're in times when the reaper will be overtaken by the plowman and the planter by the one treading the grapes. It goes on to say that new wine will drip from the mountains. They will rebuild ruined cities and live in them. They will plant vineyards and drink their wine and make gardens and eat their fruit. Do you understand? When the reaper is overtaken by the plowman, it means there is such accelerated process that as soon as you're planting, there is reaping. As soon as they're reaping, whoa, there's more planting happening. It's exponential growth. It's accelerated works. That's the kingdom of God that is increasing in this hour. We need to understand that. That's why we got to be able to move and move quickly and be in obedience to the Spirit. So when he says move, you move. Lest you be overtaken. It's so important. It's amazing. The time and season that we are in, it is a time for multiplication. Abundance. 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 This is a historic moment in the epic of the Crossing Life Church. This is a time of fulfillment. This is a time of crossing over. It's a time of conquest in good works that actually expand the influence and reach of the kingdom of God. This is a significant moment in time. I hope we recognize that. And you have a special part to play. We have a special part to play together. Now, in light of the commissioning of the Crossing Life Academy today, which is also a historic moment for our community and a long-term dream that has come into fruition in an accelerated way. This has been a dream in my heart, a dream in the Foster's heart, and many others for many, 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 many years. This is a season of convergence for so many. That's why the trials you're in is about divine transition into your assignment for the next season. This is a season of convergence where God wants to put you in your strength zone for good works that have been preordained for such a time as this. Come on, I hope your spirits are vibrating with truth right now. So listen, when we all think of our process of Christian maturity, because this is what we're being called into, greater places of maturity so that we can be entrusted. So when we think of our process of maturity, of growth, of sanctification, it can be understood in the framework of Christian education. See, we're all being washed and growing in the knowledge of God. We're all learning to see and know all things through the knowledge of the Son. To see things through the scriptures. To see things through a biblical worldview. While also being conformed to the image, rather transformed into the image of his Son. See, in Christ is hidden all the treasures of both wisdom and knowledge. Apart from Christ and the true knowledge, accurate knowledge of Christ, we can see, discern, understand nothing about life accurately. Do you understand? That's why we must be renewed in our thinking, no longer conformed to the ways of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that you have the ability, capacity to even understand what God's will is. You cannot obey a will you do not understand. You can act in faith, but you first must have clarity on what that will is. Even if I don't understand the implications of it, my job is to obey. But I must first make clear what he has said. And we have to discern clearly what he has said. Therefore, we must be transformed to learn to think like God. Therefore, we must learn to eat the scriptures. Become like him. Behold the beauty of Jesus, who is the radiance of the Father. Come on, Jesus is so beautiful. Church, you and I need to fall in love every day with who Jesus is. You want to sustain revival? Fall in love with who he is and what he has done for you and his ways. You've been called into fellowship with the Son. Ah, he's so beautiful. In him is hidden all the treasures of both wisdom and knowledge. The Bible says that Jesus, he is the wisdom, the Sophia, and the dunamis, the power of God. Oh, how we need to know him. And listen, so education, it is the training of our character, of our person. As I said before, it is not mere academic transfer of knowledge. That's what we're doing in the CLA. That's what we're aspiring with all our initiatives to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to live lives worthy of the gospel and be found faithful and spotless and blameless at his coming. That Christ would be formed on the inside of us individually and collectively as a church. Education is training of the character. And let me tell you something. Godly character is our path to the hope that we have in Christ and to a better world in our day and age. Listen to me. That's a writer downer too. Godly character is your path to the hope we have in Christ. Well, what do you mean? Isn't this all by faith? Yes, it is by faith, but add to your faith virtue. Virtue, knowledge. Knowledge, self-control that produces godliness. Godliness that produces brotherly kindness, that produces love. And if those things continually abound, then you will have an abundant supply and entrance into his kingdom. But if not, if you're not growing in virtue, if faith is not producing godly character and virtue in your life, it says that you are barren, unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus and have become blind, forgetting that you had been cleansed from your former sins. Come on, I'm talking scripture to you. That's 2 Peter 1. Godly character. Romans 5 says, hey, we rejoice in the glory of God to come, but we don't just rejoice in that glory and that grace. We also rejoice in trials and suffering because it produces perseverance. Perseverance produces what? Proven character. And character, hope. And hope that doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Character is hope. Romans 2 says, man, those that actually have an inheritance in the kingdom and the age to come, who are those who in this life consistently did good and were looking for life and immortality. Man, the word is good. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Or put that in your cup and drink it. Whatever your preference. The word of God is clear. What society needs is people that look like Jesus. For real. Not just talking Christian talk, but live lives that do not adorn the gospel. No, we need lifestyles and a community that adorn the gospel, that make him beautiful again. We'll either be the fragrance of life to those being saved or the fragrance of death to those that are perishing and have loved and chosen darkness. But nonetheless, friends, we must come up to a next place. If we want to change the world, we must grow in godly character, virtue. It's a transforming force. Society is built off solid, godly people. A free society is built off character and internal government. Are you hearing me? I love this. Listen to what Martin Luther King said. He says, the function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. Intelligence plus character, that is the goal of true education. Education is not the transfer of academic information that is devoid or disattached from all of life. True education is about the knowledge of God and what God requires of mankind in life to live well, to live free, to expand his government on the earth in a way that's God-honoring and God-glorifying. Now listen, because obviously we know we are in such a time of crisis in education, in the world, and even in the church. The church is being renewed in the knowledge of God and having to rediscover apostolic foundations. We're having to return to the elementary principles because they've been forgotten, diluted, adulterated. We are returning to the pure and unadulterated Word of God. And that takes intention, stewardship, investment, a heart that is hungry to grow and who loves learning. Come on, you with me? We're disciples, apprentices of Jesus Christ, serious students. Come on, say amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Listen to what Martin Luther said a long time ago. He goes, I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be the gates of hell unless they diligently labor to explain the Holy Scriptures, engraving them into the hearts of the youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. And we are seeing that like never before in history. You want me to read that again? Martin Luther says, I am much afraid that schools will prove to be the very gates of hell unless they diligently labor to explain the Holy Scriptures, engraving them into the hearts of the youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not unceasingly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. The bills that are being tried to be passed federally right now is utter overreach and abominable. But hey, darkness is going to do what darkness does. But we need the church to rise up with a voice, with solutions, and then actively engage culture to make a difference. We live in an hour that's very confused, and we need clarity. We don't need religion, we need moral clarity. But this type of gross darkness is shaking the church to wake up. It's shaking the unchurched, the morally God-fearing type people, moral people, to wake up and realize something must be done. In the Scriptures it says, in gross darkness, the glory of the Lord will rise upon his people, and kings and nations will come to the brightness of their rising. Friends, this is Isaiah 60. Creation is waiting for you and I to rise in the Spirit of the Lord with real solutions, and it happens in the darkest hours. Come on. You don't need to be afraid of the dark. Greater is he who is in us than he that's in the world. My job description, your job description, is to destroy the works of darkness. We are called to kick down the gates of hell. You're meant to go on spiritual attack, not passive observation. No, you're meant to be redemptive kingdom leaven that transforms all things from the ground up. Yeah. Listen, it is a time to cross over into the next place of promise and fulfillment. Hear me. It is time to cross over. Seasons are changing. One chapter is closing and another is opening. One season is ending. In fact, it is done. It is a new season. You must enter into it. You must forsake old ways and old wineskins and enter into the new thing God is doing. You must come out of the realm of the familiar and the known and enter into faith and the unknown. You need to get out of the boat and start walking on the water. Forsake unbelief and set your mind like flint and be ready for great exploits. Yeah. Listen, as a church, even with the CLA and everything we're doing as a pioneering, forerunning people, we are recovering both ancient wells, things that have been lost, but we're also pioneering something new that the Lord is doing in the earth. We really are. In our initiatives, in the land, in the creative ideas, thinking out of the box, but not out of the book. We have been so conditioned to think in the box, and God is not in a box. And what was useful in previous seasons does not work in a new season. This is really important. Transitions and change is very hard for people. It's hard for humanity, but we can learn to shift and change with a surrendered heart to God. Listen, the timing and providence of God for the CLA and for the church, the prophetic words, all these things that have come. Sean was sharing, they have been divine interruptions, divine kairos moments that have kept us walking in alignment with the Spirit and heaven's agenda. Right? We plan our way, but the Lord establishes our steps. At the end of the day, God establishes our steps. We must obey the leadership of the Spirit. And when I say that, we have to obey His Spirit and advance when He asks us to do so in flood season. Because He asked us to cross over like He did Joshua and the Israelites. He said, cross over in the flood season of harvest. Friends, it's harvest time, and things are coming like crazy. And He's saying, yeah, don't try to settle down for peace. It's time to cross when it doesn't make sense to cross. When it's not convenient to cross in flood season. When it doesn't make logical sense, it's time to move by the Spirit of God. They crossed the Jordan and entered into promise, and it required faith. It required preparatory consecration, and it took yielding to specific instructions from heaven. The Lord said to Joshua and the Israelites, you have not gone this way before. They sent the ark out first, and they had to stay at a certain distance. They had to follow the presence of God. We must learn to follow His presence. To stay in step. But there was consecration beforehand. Friends, we've been in a season of consecration. And I pray that you have fully yielded to that. He says, you have not gone this way before. We need to be fervently in prayer. And we need to pray with expectation under a prophetic anointing. And what I mean is we need to learn to see and hear what God is saying and doing and pray that way. When we pray what heaven is saying, things happen and the kingdom is advanced. It's not praying empty prayers full of unbelief. It's praying with substance that accomplishes something and takes God's will out of an unseen realm and gives birth to it in the natural. I'm talking about a people that know how to legislate and govern in the Spirit. Your high vocation is intercession. To go before the throne and to decree the decree of God. And then to live, obey, and act in accordance with what He has said. Amen? Otherwise, I find myself in opposition to what God is doing, and then I have impotent prayers that accomplish nothing. It's the fervent, effectual prayer of the righteous that avail much. If Elijah, who was a man under an old covenant, could shut and close and open the heavens, how much more the new man in the kingdom of God, endowed with the Spirit of God, can open their mouth and unlock the heavens and the earth? Church, we are greater than Elijah. John the Baptist was the Elijah. And he was the greatest born among men. And it said, yet the least of you in the kingdom is greater than that man. We are the greater man in Christ. And we need to learn to wield the keys of the kingdom in this season. It is not a time to shrink back, be timid or distracted with your own life. It's a time to build the house of the Lord and give ourselves to the work no matter the cost. It's unconventional. It's unrational. It's extravagant. It's radical. It's sacrificial. It's beautiful. He makes beautiful messes. Yes, he does. We need the wineskin. We need the wineskins of this new season in order to receive the harvest and to further establish the church for the hour we live in. We are discipling and training in the CLA the students, but not just the students, whole households and families. The CLA is really a powerful extension of the church's mandate, again, to pass on the faith of the next generation, but really to help whole households order their life according to the Word of God, to live according to God's design for family so that we can raise up the next generation that love God for real and are partnered with us in the mission. See, listen, strong families create strong church communities. Strong churches are the agent of change to the extended community and society. And the progression continues until we affect the very fabric of our nation. And then our nation again is returned to its initial design and plan to be a light and witness to the ends of the earth as a city set on a hill. Listen to what John Wycliffe said. He was a reformer who put the scriptures back in the hands of the people. He understood that liberty was freedom from repression or control by either civil or church government in order to do what's right, to follow and obey God. Liberty or freedom was not just to do whatever you want. That is like tyranny. That's chaos. Freedom is so that you can actually obey God and do what is right. Listen, John Wycliffe, he propagated out of the scriptures that if the individual would govern his own life according to God's ways, doing what was right voluntarily, there would be no need for a government of external force to control him. Internal government, the fruit of self-control, produced peace and external freedom. This was God's plan and the idea of the Christians and the pilgrims when they came to America. Internal government released external peace and freedom from control and confinement. And this is why both young and old, as we've been saying over and over, must be established in the truths of the Word of God and have their hearts yielded to the leadership of His Spirit. Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's liberty. Apostle Paul said, listen, the law is only for lawbreakers. The law doesn't even matter to people that live in freedom. It doesn't matter because you walk in liberty. You do what's right. You walk in love because it does not violate the law. Love does no wrong to its neighbor. Love honors, love respects, love protects. That's why this was an agenda. So that's why education and training of this type, training of Christian character at the academy, in our church, why we're contending for greater establishment, more than empty Christian confessions, we need lives that become oaks of righteousness that are unshaken. And where Christ is formed in our hearts, where we live sound, wholesome lives. Come on, are you with me? We need training and development that's holistic and comprehensive to all of life. This is the pursuit of wisdom, skillful living. If we want to grow up into the fullness of Christ and affect the world, this is essential, and you must be all in. Every one of you. You must be all in to your own development and the development of your children, your grandchildren, and those within your community. It's not just their responsibility, it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility, it's all of our responsibility. Nelson Mandela said this, education is the most powerful weapon which you can use to change the world. Education is the first step for people to gain the knowledge, critical thinking, and empowerment and skills they need to make the world a better place. Come on, that's good. You want to change the world, you have to grow. I love that. If we believe that God is releasing real awakening and revival in America, come on, you believe that? That God is releasing something powerful in the earth right now. If we are called to restore the desolations of many generations, if we're literally called to help rebuild ruined cities, because this is the call. Do you understand? We have a mandate and task to literally help transform culture, society. What gets dismantled to the unrighteous, the saints are meant to arise in the goodness and grace of God and help rebuild what's been devastated. That's part of our job, friend. We need a bigger vision, a bigger picture of what God has called us to. If God's releasing these things and we're called to restore, then we have to build from the ground up in our children. We need a well-ordered process in our homes according to God's design. And we have to take seriously the mandate of raising up the next generation. And friends, we have to think generationally. Sometimes we're just thinking about our own life. You need to live and build and act in a way that is so far above and beyond you. You need to be living like planting trees of the shade you will never get to enjoy. That's a right or downer. We have to live beyond ourselves. We need to think 100 years, 200 years. We need to build eternally, friends, eternally. That's how we have to live our lives and how we need to build our structures or initiatives. The CLA is not a cute program. It's a legacy work for generations to come until the Lord returns. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to build and build well. Build according to design. We're raising up a generation that know how to fully participate and obey the great commandment and the great commission. We're called to disciple nations, right? And as a church, we want a pathway of development all the way from diapers to doctorate. Come on, that's a cute cone. Alex, you like that, right? We want a developmental pathway of training, of education, of development for every stage of life. Every one of you are in school. Every one of you are in the school of the Holy Ghost. Every day is a training day. Come on, doesn't that excite you? It excites me. I love the process of transformation. We need to love the process. So important. We want to raise up people in whom the world is not worthy of, and yet a people in whom live worthy of the gospel and who become agents of transformation on the earth. That's what we want. Listen to this quote. It says, you know, when we think about training, education, the orientation, Jeff Reed said this in his paradigm papers on church-based theological education. The orientation of theological study and of education as a whole changed from laying a foundation for the lifelong pursuit of wisdom to the intense mastery of academic disciplines. Theology and education has lost its soul, and the pursuit of knowledge replaced the pursuit of wisdom. And it ought not be. So when it comes to growing up in the grace of God, the perfecting of love, of growing in character, of biblical maturity, this has to do far more than information. It has to do with a transformed life by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we are pressing into, church. And this takes diligence. This takes faith. This takes patience. This takes intention. This takes absolute commitment for the long term. Are you in? Are you in? This is calling all of us to a deeper place of devotion and establishment in the Word of God. This takes intention, ordered learning, fervent prayer as individuals, as families, as a community. We must become strong and unshakable and yet be versatile and adaptable enough to be able to reach the world around us. Listen, we live in a complex age with complex issues that cannot be answered with simple, superficial answers. Believers need to be able to think biblically and critically and have sound answers and solutions to real issues while being a loving community of presence that can actually heal broken hearts and influence their minds. This is important. We need training in the Word of God and in character. It is a must. And the Scriptures command us to train ourselves in godliness because it has rewards in this life and in the age to come. Eat the scrolls, friends. As a church, we must become a pillar and foundation of truth because that indeed is what the church is. We have to be a consistent, stable beacon of light to the world around us. Listen, we are an apostolic hub in this region. Many streams, peoples, networks, churches, community organizations, local government, statewide government, they are going to look to us as a people and the church in our region. Do you hear me? This is very real. It's like the Queen of Sheba that came to Solomon, who was overwhelmed by the wisdom of God that rested on his life, the favor and blessing and excellence that rested on his life. God is releasing a greater crown of excellence and glory on his church because the world needs answers. They need the knowledge of God. And friends, that is you and me. to be a city set on a hill. It is time to cross the Jordan. It's time to get up as a consecrated people and cross over to the other side. It's time to put off childish ways and to pick up the mantle of the man of God. Pick up the mantle as the woman of God. Stop thinking and speaking and acting like a child. It's time to grow up in grace. Put your hand to the plow and look with expectant, confident hope to the future. Because there's giants to slay, my friends. There's territory to be gained for the gospel. There's souls to be saved. There's a work to be done. And when they crossed over, you know, there was two faithful from a previous generation. You had Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was probably in his later 50s, 40s to 50s. And then you had Caleb, 85 years old. You had an older generation, another generation found in Joshua, and then a whole other younger generation. Probably had 4 or 5 generations in that giant movement of God crossing over into promise. Friends, we are in such a time as this where God has wiped away, sifted, purified the chaff in our lives, and hopefully has brought forth enough gold and faith so that we can actually move over and possess what God has called us to do as a community. Because unbelief and immorality and grumbling must be purged. The idolatry and immorality must be purged. Those bound by pornography in this house, you must circumcise that worthless, seductive spirit in immorality and put it off. The rebellion between husbands and wives, the lack of submission. Friends, those days must be over. We must be a family in alignment, in divine order, as an army moving together in one accord. One heart, one mind, one vision, one voice for the progress of the gospel. We must cross over young and old together, from nursing infants to those yet to be born still in the womb to the gray hairs. We're crossing over. Do you hear me? This is the season we are in. Stand with me if you're ready to cross over. Stand with me if you're ready to cross over. In Isaiah 42, and in Joshua 3, and Isaiah 53, it says this. Listen, you have not gone this way before. If you presumptuously and flippantly try to embrace this next season, woe to you. Woe to you. Pride and a haughty spirit will be your downfall and could be our downfall. Because success and influence and wealth and greater power will test you more than anything. He's tested you in lack, and then you're going to be tested with wealth. That's why character is so important. You need to be able to be trusted by God. He says this, you have not gone this way before. I will lead you and guide you along unfamiliar paths. He says in Isaiah 53, who was blind but my servant? I will lead the blind by the ways they have not known. I want to end with this. When it comes to following the Lord's leadership and obedience to what he asks of you, it is as if though we are blind to our natural reasoning, our natural sight, the comfortability of our senses, what's controllable, tangible. God wants to take you away from what you can manage on your own and feel and taste and understand with your own intellect and rationality, and wants to bring you into the place where you are blind of your own intellect, where you come into the mind of Christ by faith and learn to trust his leadership. Who is blind but my servant? Jesus did only what he saw the Father doing. He said what he heard the Father saying. He was blind to his own will so that he could do the will of the Father. That must be you and me. Say, God, I am forsaking my own understanding that I could trust you with all of my heart, leaning not on my own understanding that I could follow you. Come on, I just want us to respond for a moment. That you cross over with great joy and with trembling in your heart. From a place of consecration and then expectancy that you are going to face new trials, new giants, new impossibilities for you to exercise the muscles God has produced in you in this last season. The trials you've gone through have prepared you for what's next. Are you ready? Come on, just pray for a moment. And then when you're ready, I want you to literally, as an act of faith, come up to the front as a sign that I am crossing over. Mark well what needs to be put off. And mark well the requirement, the commitment, the sacrifice, the yielding, the surrendering to God. The commitment to greater training and the willingness to obey seemingly foolish, unconventional instructions from God. Because that's what He will ask of you. Unconventional wisdom. Come on, when you're ready, you just come confidently to the front. When you're ready, want to cross over. And we say now, as a people, here we are, Lord, at this juncture of seasons, of chapters. We recognize moments in time. And we give you thanks for the new thing that you are doing. We fear you. We trust you. We tremble at your word, God, and we long to do what is pleasing in your sight. We trust in the leadership, the providence, the sovereignty, the workings of God that has brought us to this moment. Come on, even thank Him for a moment of where you've come from. Thank Him for the trials. Thank Him for the process. Thank Him for sparing your life. Some of you, He's literally saved you from death. His mercy is greater over your life than you know. Some of you is so taken lightly, God's mercy and grace. You've taken God's grace vainly many times, and God has shown mercy because He wants you to win. He wants you to possess what He's ordained for you in this season. We ask God for greater grace and mercy upon us and a crown of wisdom, a supernatural endowment of strength to do what you've called us to do. That we would be ones who would know our God and do the exploits you've called us to do for the glory of your name. And even now, God, I pray that fear. Some of you are so worried about your inadequacies and what you feel you cannot do. You're so consumed with your own limitations. Let me tell you something. You must repent of focusing on your limitations and look to the God of the impossible, the God who gives you strength to do all things in Him and through Him. In fact, you must boast in your weakness. Boast in your weakness so that God's grace and power can be effected there. Let fear right now melt off of you. Fear is a tormentor. Fear is a taskmaster, and it is a liar. The Lord wants you to cross over in the fear of the Lord, which is about reverence and awe, submission, a worshipful posture of amazement at the greatness of your God. But He wants you to move forward with confidence in your Maker, confidence in His ability to do the impossible. It's like Jehoshaphat. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do, Lord, but my eyes are on you. He is the Lord who has gone before you. He is the Lord that has given you the promised land. He's purchased it. Now walk in it. Come on, begin to pray and cry out. If there's things you need to release, release. But the Lord will meet you with real consecration. Real commitment, there is real exchange from heaven. Receive an impartation of grace. Let confidence come upon you in the name of Jesus. Be made sure in your calling and election, as Peter says. May the affirmation and love of God shoot into your heart. The confidence of the children of God fill you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, from the bottom of your feet up to the top of your head. Woo! Come on, just begin to exchange for the Lord for a moment. We acknowledge this moment to cross over into a new season. We forsake old wineskins, familiar ways of doing things that are incompatible. We forsake them and we say, Lord, yes and amen to the new thing you're doing. We surrender to the work. We present our bodies and lives as living sacrifices in light of your mercy to do your will, to do your bidding. Loose the grace for diligence, for faith, for patience and endurance. In the name of Jesus.